Morning. Good to see all three of y'all and the rest of you on Facebook Live. Proud to get to be here this morning. We decided to do the Facebook Live for a couple of weeks until see what's going on. I really enjoyed the drive-in service last week, but was a little, after listening to the governor and the folks in charge, thought it was a better idea to do this for a couple of weeks. That way we, in case we did sneak out of our cars, we don't have to worry about getting each other sick and that kind of thing. So we will be doing this for at least 2 weeks, see where everything is with the virus, and then we will may go back to some drive-in service and see what we can do for the rest of April. So, but we do appreciate you watching. Pat, if you're asleep, wake up. It's time to start. But this morning, a very familiar scripture, 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. It's a scriptural story of a lot like where we're at today. There's a young servant who didn't know what to do. And the title I've given this sermon is, "What Shall We Do?" And that's a question on a lot of people's mind, a lot of people's heart today is, what do we do? We've never been through a time as this, and I know we've almost been in this a month already. Really getting real to us, and by this time we've got friends who have gotten sick with the virus, and so what's going on in our minds is, what are we going to do? And I've searched the scriptures, and I've only found one thing we can do is open our eyes. Open our eyes and understand that God's in control. In this story this morning, this young servant was unsure of what was about to happen. Now, he was a good servant. The Bible says he was up early. He was doing what he should have been doing, but still he looked, and the enemy had him surrounded everywhere, and he done the only thing he knew to do was go to the master and ask the master, what are we going to do? And thank God today that the master in our lives is Jesus Christ, and he's got the answers, and today he's wanting me and you to open our eyes and see that there's more with us than they are against us. We'll begin reading this scripture in 2 Kings, chapter number 6, verses 15 through 23. Very, very familiar, like I said again. It says, "When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host came past the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were coming to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. The king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Would thou smite those with whom thou hast taken captive, with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more to the land of Israel." Father, we thank you today for this scripture. God, we thank you for your promises that, God, there's more with us than there are with them. And God, I pray today that you open our eyes, that you open my eyes, that you open our congregation's eyes, and anybody that may be watching that's in fear, God, would you open their eyes that we may see truly that you are with us and that you have hosts of angels about us, and protection that comes that we don't even understand. God, we ask you to be with this preaching today, and ask the ones out there that doesn't know you, they open their heart to you today, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want you to first look at the situation that this young man was in. You see, the king of Syria had been after the king of Israel, and he was wanting to destroy him. And he, every time he planned to ambush him, the king found out about it. So the king of Syria was sure that somebody in the camp was telling the king, was telling him about every time he did it. And there was one person in the king of Syria's camp there that told him, says, no, there's a prophet in Israel, and he knows everything. He knows when you rise, when you go to bed. He knows what you're saying in your bedroom. He knows everything about you, and it's revealed to him by God. This old Syrian king, he did what every evil king would do. He decided to try to stamp out the man of God. And listen, I believe with all my heart today the enemy is trying to use this thing to do away with God's people. He thinks he's probably succeeded, as all the churches are empty this morning. Some are having drive-in service, but inside the building they're empty. But bless God, he can't do away with the church. The church is us. We are the temple of God, and we are his people, and he can never do away with us, for we have the protection that we can't even understand. So when this young man was all beside himself, and he didn't know what to do, because as he woke up early that morning and he walked around the camp and he looked, and the Syrian host, it says, was all about him. I looked that word up, host, and it means an army or a band of men. They was all around him. They was completely surrounded by this army. So he was sure that he was about to be destroyed. Now, if you watch the news very long, you're going to get depressed. You're going to think, well, if I even leave my house, I'm going to get this disease. This is going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen to my family. I don't know what's going to happen to my country. The only question I have is, what am I going to do? And we all have that same question. And listen, I think it's normal to be fearful. I think it's normal to have some of this, because you are human. But what God wants us to do today is simply open our eyes and see what's around us. Now listen, when we open our physical eyes, we see the enemy. And like I said, you turn on your TV station, no matter which one it is, all that's on there is coronavirus. You don't find anything else on the news but the coronavirus. It is from top to bottom on every web page. That's all you see. So as our eyes look around, we're completely seeing the enemy. But when we open the eyes of our faith, we understand something, that we have one with us way greater than this virus is. Matter of fact, the one with us had to allow this thing to be created. So the situation looked bleak. It looked like there was absolutely no hope. I thought to myself, wondering, when are we going to get to normal life again, as we call it? We may never get there. I don't know. We may never get to the point where we don't think about standing 6 foot away from somebody. I pray we get to a point where we can be back in this church house and fellowship with our fellow believers and worship the Lord in spirit and truth in this place. I believe we will. I hope we will. But honestly, I cannot tell you when that's going to happen. I cannot tell you that if you will even get sick, if your family will even get sick. I can't tell you that whether you'll live or die. Bless God, I don't know any of that. But what I can tell you is to open your eyes of faith. And that's what Elisha wanted the servant to do today. Now listen, as we look at this servant, we see the situation. As we look at the servant, we understand something. I believe people has gotten in their heads that maybe this thing has come because of how bad I am, of what I'm doing. Listen, this servant was doing everything right here. And the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Now listen, I do believe God sent this thing to wake up his church. I believe that. But if we're not careful, we'll get to the point of thinking, well, then surely he's punishing me for my sin. But this servant did everything a servant should do. The Bible says he woke up early. And in biblical times, when somebody woke up early, they was about the business they were supposed to be about. Now, if you've got children, you very seldom do you see them wake up early. But the Bible says this was a young man. And this young man rose early. And not only did he rise up, he went about the camp and seeing what was out there. Elisha had trained him well. And as he went about the camp, he began looking. And he looked and he saw horses and chariots all around. He couldn't look anywhere where there wasn't a horse or a chariot. And I could just put myself in his place and wondering, what can I do? Hey, it looks like we're in a mess. What am I going to do? And he did the only thing he knew to do. He says he went to the master and he says, how shall we do? More translations may say, what shall we do? Anyway, he wanted to know, how was we going to get out of this mess? And listen, today, I believe we are the servants. We are the servants, and the master is Jesus Christ in this story. We are to go to him and ask him what to do. I don't think this servant did a bad thing right here. I think his faith was weak. But listen, all of our faiths are weak sometimes. But it's okay to be able to go to the master and ask him, what shall we do? So this servant was not in a bad place in doing that. I believe it was completely biblical. And today, have you went to the master and asked him, what shall we do? You see, we've listened to everybody else. We've listened to all the doctor's advice, and I'm not saying don't do that. It's good advice. Don't stand next to somebody Don't drink after them. Don't go in a big group. That's all great advice. But listen, ultimately, they don't know what we shall do. Jesus Christ knows what we shall do. He knows how to handle this thing. I wonder, are we even praying? Are we going to the Master as we should and earnestly getting into prayer? I believe this is what this represents today, is when he went and he told that Master, he said, Master, I need you to help me because we're surrounded by all these people. I could just imagine how scared he must be. I think the servant is a picture of us, especially those of us that are weak in their faith. Even the stronger can become fearful. If there's anybody out there today that says this thing hasn't alarmed them a little bit, I want to meet you because it shook up a lot of people. It's a scary thing if when you see your president announce that in the next month, possibly 240,000 deaths could be in our country. That'll shake you. That'll get you to the point where you're wondering, what are we going to do? It'll get you to a point where you don't even want to poke your head out of your house. And you don't. If you got loved ones who work at the hospitals, you might not even want them to come home. I'm getting a bad look. I better go on from that one. But as a servant, he done anything that we would do. He ran. And he went to the Master and asked him, what shall we do? So we saw the situation, the servant. I want you to look at the solution. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, we have a great solution. It says he answered, fear not. Now you go through the scriptures and you'll find a lot of times where this fear not is said by the Lord. Fear not. Why do you think he wants us to fear not? Because the most dangerous people in the world are scared people. The most unsettled people in the world are scared people. And listen, in a nation that's as great as ours is, we have some scared folks right now. But he tells us to fear not. That was the first thing the Master said. The first part of the solution was to don't be afraid. Now listen, this is easier said than done. And it's impossible to do when you look with your eyes of faith, with your eyes of physical eyes. The servant looked with his physical eyes and he saw chariots all around him. Big horses and warriors on those chariots. And this thing looks scary. But Elisha told him, fear not. For they that be with us are more than be with them. Now can you imagine this young man at this time saying, Elisha, I don't know what you see, but when I look around, I see me and you. That's about all I see. And we are the same way today. When God tells us to fear not, that he's more than they are, we begin looking with our physical eyes and saying, well, I don't know what you're talking about, Lord, because it's only me and my house here, and we're not doctors, and we don't know what to do. So how in the world are we going to handle this thing? What Elisha was about to do was the greatest blessing this young man would ever have done in his life. Somebody prayed for him. Listen to this. Elisha prayed. Elisha prayed for this young man. My friend, the solution to this problem and what we shall do is prayer. Elisha prayed and he said, Lord, open his eyes. I pray thee, open his eyes. Oh my goodness, that's the best thing ever happened to this young man. Not being around Elisha was even not even the best thing. Not being able to see this miracle, the best thing. The best thing that whatever would happen to him was the day Elisha prayed. Do you understand today, if you are saved, if you are here, if you are one of God's, it's because somebody prayed for you. Somebody saw you didn't have a hope, and somebody prayed for you. And he prayed, open his eyes that he may see. Oh my goodness, what a prayer. My prayer today for even my own self. You see, I'm not the master in this thing. Jesus is the master. And you pray to him. And you ask him, Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes that I may see the help that we have in this. I want to see the solution. And I've thought about how this thing's going to end. And I just come up with things in my head of when this virus going to do away with. And studying the scriptures, is all when God works a problem out, it's always in a way where man can't take credit. So I don't know how this thing's going to end. But what I do know is it's going to be in a way in where God gets all the glory. It's not going to be in a way where a man says, well, I come up with this, or I did this, or I did that. This thing is going to end when God says enough is enough, and God's going to get all the glory and all the praise out of this situation, and he's going to show us that he is the solution. So he prayed. He prayed that God would open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. Oh, what a blessing it is to be able to see. Those of y'all that know me know I have got only one eye, and it's not very good. But I can't imagine not being able to see it all physically. But how great it is to be able to see the blessings of God in our lives. How to be able to see just the spring coming to be, all the blooming stuff, and all the flowers looking pretty, and everything looking so green, and everything looking so pretty. But what's more important than that is having the eyes of faith and being able to see who is round about us and who has us in his hands, and everything's going to be all right. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man. He saw. Man, he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. You see, as he opened his eyes of faith, and listen, this was only done by God. He must touch our being before we have faith. He must touch us and draw us to himself before we can see. But he opened the eyes of this young man. He looked about, and all around Elisha, I believe the horses was bigger than the ones of Syria. I believe the chariots was much bigger, and there was a fire. And oh, what great it must have been to look and see this, and how excited this young man must have been of thinking, now I can see the solution. Listen, men, you don't understand this, but the Bible plainly teaches that we have angels around us protecting us. I believe at all times in Psalms chapter 125 in verse 2, it tells us something about this. It says that the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people for henceforth, even forever. My friend, you are surrounded this morning. Now again, do not go out and take, say I give you some advice. You don't have to adhere to what the doctors say, because Lord, about me, he give us common sense not to step out in the road. We will get run over. But listen, we use our common sense and our faith, and I promise you today that God is round about you. And it's not me that says this. It's this Bible that says that the mountains are round about Jerusalem. So the Lord's about his people even forever. There never will be a time, whether in any virus or anything else, when God is not around you, because you are his people. What a blessing it is when our eyes are open, and we must see that. But listen, this is only done through the eyes of faith. The more I preach, the more I study the scriptures, the more I come back to the same thing every time, is the only good thing I have is faith. And it's in the only good thing there is Jesus Christ. And listen, that's the only thing that makes a difference. The Bible tells us without faith, it's impossible to please him. And without faith, we know we can't be saved. We're saved by faith through grace and not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. For some reason, we think we are good enough to gain some of these things. My friend, but if you'll study your scriptures and find out, every protection, everything, every single thing we have, everything we're about, the power behind it is faith. It's the only thing that works. So the solution was evident to the young man. Fear is natural, even normal, even for those close to the master. My friend, he has never left us, and he's never forsaken us. And he's not going to start today. He's round about us, even forever. You're completely surrounded by this force. Listen, there's nothing more powerful than God. He created everything. Everything that ever has been, everything that ever will be, he created it. Even the bad things we think about, he had to allow it to happen. He had to allow it to take place. Nothing happens without him. And listen, he has completely got us surrounded, and we are safe. So we saw the situation. We took a look at the servant, the solution. But I think we'd be missing out if we left this story and didn't mention the salvation. Listen, this master that we talked about in this story was Elisha, but the master, scriptural speaking, is Jesus Christ. You remember when they was in the boat and they thanked off the storm was coming. Well, the storm was coming. The storm was blowing hard and the waves were tall and everything was round about them. They didn't know what to do. And they said, we must wake the master. And let's wake him up. And listen, Jesus is the master in this thing. And the master saw something in this story. Listen, as he brought these men of Syria into Samaria, they was blinded. They was blinded, and when the king of Israel saw them people, he asked Elisha, he said, do you want me to kill them? Let me kill them, Elisha. Elisha says, no, we're not going to kill them. We're going to preserve them. We're going to feed them. We're going to give them the good things. Listen, that's what's done to me and you today. Bless God, we are blinded completely until somebody prays for us and our eyes are opened. Do you realize that not only did Elisha pray that his servant's eyes would be open, but he also prayed that the eyes of these Assyrian soldiers would be open and see what a situation they was in and how they needed help. Now listen, Elisha had led them down that way to the part where they could have been smitten, they could have been killed. But in the grace and mercy, they was preserved. And today, those of us that have opened our eyes of faith and realized the situation we are in, God offers salvation. You see, we talk about people today. Why are people not getting saved? Why is people not getting saved like they used to? I tell you why they're not, because they're not getting lost. They don't realize they're in a situation. Their eyes are blinded. They stand in need of prayer. They stand in need of my prayer and your prayer. Letting them understand that they are in a place where they're about to be killed. You see, as Elisha led these men there, and he told them, he said, "That's not you don't know who you're looking for. He's not here. I'm going to show you where he is." And he led them to a place of where it was dangerous for them. Israel was wanting to kill them. But oh, the mercy and the grace of Elisha. He said, "We're not going to kill them." He said, "We're going to give them something to eat." Listen to verses 18 through 23. This is too good not to read again. It says, "And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite these people. I pray thee with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, This is not the way, neither is this a city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, and they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, When he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them, without whose thou takest captive with thy sword, with thy bow. Set bread and water before them, they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared a great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master." Boy, what a message there is. I can nearly start over on these verses. What a message there is in this. The great provision he had made for these men who was at first wanting to kill them. Who was first an enemy of Israel. And now Israel had prepared a great feast for them and had fed them and had given them something to drink and was good to them. Listen, this is provisions that God has made for me and you. We was outcasts. We deserved to be killed. We had an enemy who was wanting to kill us. But in the grace and mercy, the master said, No, we're not going to do that. We're going to give them provision. We're going to feed them. We're going to give them drink. We're going to give them everything to take care of. And bless God, one of these days we will go to our master, who's sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for every one of us. So back to the question we asked when we started. What shall we do? What shall we do? If you're a saved, born-again believer in this time of fear, what shall you do? Open your eyes. Open your eyes. And if you're more of a man of faith than some of the others, pray for those others that their eyes will be open. The Bible plainly speaks of this in James. Those that are weak need prayer. Those that are strong are to pray for the weak. What is this saying to the person who may be listening that is lost, that has never asked Jesus to save them? What do they do in this time? In this time of peril? And listen, when you don't know that you may be the next one laid up there in ICU on the ventilator, and your days may be close, what shall you do? Open your eyes. In church, we should be in immediate prayer for those who don't know Him. We should be in prayer that God would open their eyes, that they may see the provisions He has made and what He's provided for them. So one day they too can go to their master. Listen to this last sentence in that verse. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Once their eyes was open, no more did Syria come after Israel at that point. God took care of that problem. Never fired a shot, never wielded a sword. He handled it. You see, me and you, we are fearful. My prayer today is your eyes will be open. Through this time we're living in right now, I think maybe one of the most exciting times. You say, boy, you have lost your mind. It may be one of the most exciting times in church history. I think we're going to see people come back to God. Most of y'all know that Abby works at Walmart. And I asked her the other day, I said, is there any toilet paper? She said, yeah, we got toilet paper. But she said, you know what we are out of? I said, I ain't got any idea. She said, Bibles. Walmart was out of Bibles. People coming in Walmart hunting Bibles. We see this all through history. World wars was out of Bibles. Churches was full. At this point, I believe if we was be able to, we'd have people in our churches who have never been in before if we was able to meet. You see, one day this thing's going to lift and we'll be able to meet again. And I believe we're in an exciting time. I believe there's going to come a revival from this thing. I believe we're getting a chance to grow our faith as we've never before. We're getting a chance to open our eyes of faith to the truths of God. Eyes are being opened to the only hope, which is Jesus Christ. You say, as of right now, if there's a vaccine for this thing, I don't know it. They're working on one. They've got some medicine they're saying that's helping a little bit. But as far as I know, there's no miracle drug you can take right now and this thing wiped away. If it was, we wouldn't have any problem with it. But there is hope, and his name's Jesus. What looked like sure defeat was the most critical moment in this servant's life. He grew leaps and bounds that day. You see, when the day started, it was still dark. As he looked around and he saw all that enemy, he thought surely this was the day he would die. He would be destroyed. But I can imagine as that day closed, as he saw all the great things of God opening his eyes, that stands the greatest day in that servant's life. His eyes of faith was open. I pray we don't let this time waste and our eyes will be open and see truly what God can do. There's no telling what can come from this thing. What God can use through this time. There's more with us than there is with them. There's more around us than there is this virus. I saw a thing posted yesterday. If you could see the virus, would you go outside? Because they showed it would have been everywhere. On the buildings, on the road. Just they wouldn't have been anywhere you could walk without encountering it. But still, there's more with us than there is with it. My prayer is today that some of this message has touched your heart, touched your life. You don't know the Lord? Get in this scripture and you can find him. You need to call me. Most people know my number. You can find it there on the church's website. Church, I pray that you get an earnest prayer for not only our church, but for each other. I want to encourage you also. I wouldn't be Baptist if I didn't do this. It's not about chicken. We have to give. Encourage you to use the Tithely app to give. If you don't know how to do that, I'm sure you can mail payments in. But as those of y'all know, the church still has bills that has to be paid. And I know it's so easy to focus on other things than this. But I encourage you to give. Matter of fact, it's part of your worship. The Bible's plain on that. We must continue to give. I'll go ahead and give you a little update on the building out here in case some of y'all haven't been able to come in about a month and check on things. Our fellowship hall is painted. The framing for the drop ceiling is most of it's up. We've got some lights wired in. So things are going well. The kitchen stuff is in there, the hood and all that's working. And so I hope by the time that we're able to come back to church, we almost have our building ready. So maybe it will happen at the same time and we can have a great celebration. We're going to have a word of prayer and then we will close. And I pray that you are well. If y'all need us for anything, don't be afraid to call. We'll help you any way we can. And those of y'all that may need something that's not of our church, if you would get in contact with some of us, we'll try to help you any way we can. We have a blessing box up here on our front porch that you're welcome to come There's food in it, free of charge. Get what you want. We try to keep it full. And if we can help you in any other way, just let us know. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for your many blessings. God, even this time that looks fearful, we know that you're around about us. And God, your angels are ever encamped about us. Lord, I ask that you open the eyes of our people. You open the eyes of those that are yours to see that you are taking care of them. And God, you open the eyes of those that don't know you to understand that they need you. What a blessing this virus would be if only one person come to Jesus through it. We couldn't even understand how much that is. The Bible tells us that heaven rejoices over one that comes home. God, I ask you to go with us. Be with our church. God, strengthen it through this time when it's so hard. God, I pray that you be with our leaders. Lord, as they have tough decisions to make and everybody critiques everything they do. But God, when you're the one making the decisions, we know it's hard to know the right thing. But I ask you, give us knowledge, give us understanding. And God, that we may back our leaders. Even sometimes we make wrong choices. But God, let us lift them up in prayer and I ask you to bless them. Be with our church and all the afflicted, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.